You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Back on Get Up, and as we turn the hour, did you see this? The Westminster Kennel Club dog show? The trainer handling the Boston Terrier tripped and fell, and took the dog out of its rhythm, and that is what wound up costing the dog. Marcus, your reaction.
Oh, my goodness. Gee, we're just not all blessed with athleticism, man. And like in the words of Pop from Friday, you ain't got to worry about catching the dog. You got to worry about a dog catching your blank.
Oh, that's a terrible moment. All right, with that, we welcome you back to the Seaport District in New York City, brought to you by Chase. This is Get Up. That's Dan Graziano. That was Marcus Spears. Lewis Riddick going to join us. Tim Legler is standing by. Let's do it. Here comes the menu for hour number two this morning on ESPN2. We're getting up with the Bucks, who have not stopped here. Is Giannis about to bounce banged up Brooklyn? We will start the hour right there. Then, as Aaron turned, the latest words from the Packers president have everyone up in arms. If you haven't heard what he had to say, you're not going to believe it. And then, back-to-back backs coming back. Who's the best in the NFL? We'll make our picks as we get up with you in this hour, starting right now with the game of the day, Nets, Bucks, Game 4. Giannis Antetokounmpo trying to bring his team into a tie with Brooklyn, and this is just a mess. Bad news for the Nets in the second quarter. This is really where the entire season may have turned. Watch Kyrie Irving's ankle. He goes up. It comes down, and this looks bad. We're going to show it to you again. It is right on the foot of Giannis, and you see that when that ankle hits the floor, that's as bad as it gets. Right ankle sprain. You'll hear from Malika with an update in a moment. Milwaukee up 5 at the break, and then with no Kyrie in the third quarter, it's all Bucks. Oh, Jrue Holiday between the legs to Giannis. Bucks up 10. Third quarter now winding down. Bucks up 9. That's Chris Middleton beating the third quarter buzzer with a tough shot. Milwaukee a 12-point lead. Just over 8 minutes left. It's 12 again, and it's Giannis in transition with a head of speed. He had 34 points and 12 rebounds. Just under 4 minutes left now. Just keep an eye on Giannis. He's just kind of jogging, and then, well, he's not jogging anymore. Throw it up, and he'll throw it down. KD had 28 and 13, but it was too little. Bucks win it 107-96. We're all tied up at two. We got all kinds of problems in Brooklyn. Here's the headline in today's New York Daily News. One is the Nets' loneliest number. The Nets could be down to just one member of the big three with Kyrie down. James Harden still in doubt. Here's what Malika Andrews had to say earlier here on Get Up.
Well, the returns on his early x-ray that he had yesterday, Greeny, were negative, Steve Nash said. But he is slated to undergo further testing and treatment here in New York today. But Nash also said as of last night, his status for Game 5 was very much up in the air. He said, I have, quote, no idea whether or not Irving is going to be available to play.
And again, to be clear, no rest here. The game is tomorrow night. Here's Tim Legler at... I feel like I want to ask you, I know you're not a doctor, but when you see that injury and you hear the way Steve Nash is talking about it, what is your expectation regarding the availability of Kyrie Irving for the rest of this series?
Based on the way that looked, and, you know, again, I'm not in there looking at any MRIs or anything like that. Just based on the way it looked and experience with this type of thing, I'd be shocked if we see Kyrie Irving the rest of this series. I just don't see any way, and particularly as gingerly as he was walking off the court, he leaves in a walking boot. I don't know. That's a pretty quick turnaround. And even if he does come back, there is no way he's close to 100%. So he's going to be extremely limited. And this series has gotten much more physical as it's going on. So if you have a guy out there that's basically playing on one foot, and you're able to get up into him and physically sort of manipulate where he goes, and he doesn't have that quickness or escapability, even if we do see Kyrie Irving in a Game 6 or a Game 7, it's beyond my imagination that he could be close to 100%, Greeny.
Fair enough. And I think that's the way most people view it. So with James Harden. Later in that interview with Malika, she told us that James Harden hasn't even really begun basketball activities in his return. So if they don't get much out of Kyrie, if anything, and they don't get much out of Harden, if anything, are the Nets done?
Yeah, they are done. I just can't see Kevin Durant getting past this team by himself as the only guy really on the court that could generate offense. It's just not going to happen, particularly when you look at the, where this series is going right now. And the Brooklyn Nets are being manhandled by the Bucks on the perimeter, and that includes Kevin Durant and the way P.J. Tucker's playing him. You look at their free throw rate, Greeny, it's been cut in half over the regular season. This is a team that normally goes to the line 23 times a night, and they have been to the line 26 times total in the last two games, despite the fact it's significantly more physical. And all you have to do is make Kevin Durant, you know, 10, 15% less efficient, and you've done your job, because nobody else on the floor can really go generate offense by themselves. So I just think the combination of how much this is going to hurt the Nets offensively, combined with the fact that, look at the Bucks, this is a pretty complete team. They've got one superstar in Giannis. They've got another guy in Chris Middleton who's more than capable of having 25, 30-point games. And then you've got another guy in Jrue Holiday who can give you 20 if he needs to in a particular game, and a bunch of three-point shooting. It's just too much for Kevin Durant to overcome, particularly if these games continue to be officiated the way that they have been. I do not see any way that the Brooklyn Nets can win this series if you don't see James Harden take the court, and take the court close to 100%.
All right, stay close. Legs, I want to bring you back a little later in this hour. A few more things from that series I want to get to, and I want to talk about Chris Paul and the Suns who advanced last night. But right now, to the NFL we go, where this story will not go away. Packers president Mark Murphy has said a lot about Aaron Rodgers this offseason. In January, the day after they lost the NFC title game, he said Aaron Rodgers will be back. Then March 30th at the league meeting, Murphy had no comment when asked about restructuring Rodgers' contract, which could have freed up cap space for Green Bay. Then on June 5th, in his monthly column, Murphy said the situation we face with Aaron Rodgers has divided our fan base. The less both sides say publicly, the better. And then, like a week and a half later, he said publicly at an event at Lambeau Field, quote, I'm often reminded of Ted Thompson, as most of you know, just a great general manager, passed away earlier this year, often talked about Aaron, and it wasn't just Aaron, a lot of different players. He would say, he's a complicated fella. So I'll just say that. What do we have to say about it all? Again, we have Dan Graziano in studio, Marcus Spears, and Lewis Riddick gets up with us in this hour. It's a pleasure to see you, Lewis. So we'll start with you. We've not heard from you today. What is your reaction to Mark Murphy calling Aaron Rodgers a complicated fella?
Yeah, the less we say in public, the better, huh? Yeah, just couldn't help yourself. See, look, this is the kind of thing when you start making these kind of comments, when your coach, quite honestly, Matt LaFleur is handling this the right way. He's saying all the right things. And if he doesn't have something positive to say, he's not saying anything at all. When your coach is kind of setting the, you know, the right tone and taking the right approach, and then you go and say that kind of thing, and you kind of reference the quotes of your former general manager who has passed away, who's not here to provide any context into as to what he meant when he said a complicated individual, but you use it to serve your own purpose, which is the court of public opinion, to try and sway some people your way and say, hey, look, we're not doing anything. This is just a complicated guy. This is just basically, you know, a high maintenance individual, a diva of sorts, a guy who right now is trying to, you know, kind of step beyond really what he is asked to do here, and he's trying to make decisions that I'm here to make and that Brian Gutekunst is here to make. When you start doing that kind of thing, quite honestly, look, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, if I was dug in before, I'm now going, see what I told you? See how I told you that this guy, this organization doesn't get it? That they don't quite understand that, yeah, the Green Bay Packers in and of itself has its own brand, but it's the people in those helmets, the people in the office, the offices, the people who are working the grounds crew and working at Lambeau Field, they're the ones who make this organization. Do you see why I made this statement? Do you see why I'm feeling the way I'm feeling? Because Mark had nothing. He didn't have to say anything. They don't have to do anything. And Aaron stands to lose millions and millions of dollars. They don't have to do anything. But he just had to say something. He just had to show you that, hey, I'm the team president. I'm the one, you know, I'm running things here. He just had to say something. It's just so dumb. It's pointless. Absolutely pointless.
Marcus?
Lou, I love you for saying it because it's stupid. And in the vein of the lyrics that we've been spitting this morning, G, Drake got a line in his song and said, a wise man once said nothing at all. And that's what the hell Mark Murphy should have did, to Lou's point. But now we're here, and Mark Murphy has said what he said, and it only reconfirms what we've thought, and I've thought for a long time, that when you get disgruntled between front office and franchise player, and you don't speak glowingly of either one, then it's on. It's over. It's a foregone conclusion. And I know people out there are still holding out hope. And you know, I'm active on Twitter. I clap back to people when they talking crazy to me, but also pay attention to fan bases. This fan base is split in regards to Aaron Rodgers and the front office and what this team is, because people have their legitimately loyalty to the Green Bay Packers beyond whatever player plays there. And now you have a generation of kids that know about the Green Bay Packers because of Aaron Rodgers. So you see both polar opposite sides of this. But Mark Murphy, what he did was stupid and dumb, and obviously it's going to cause for him to lose one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play in this league. But it also is going to be a black eye on the Green Bay Packers front office moving forward, because not only how they handle Aaron Rodgers, it's other players that's got to think about how they're handling Aaron Rodgers when they think about their futures as well.
So Dan Graziano, my insider here, we've now entered, it appears, the petty phase where Aaron's going to come on with Kenny Mayne and say what he says, and Mark Murphy's going to keep saying what he says. And what does that mean? I mean, the most important piece of this is what is going to happen with Aaron Rodgers. What does it all mean?
So I kind of disagree with Marcus in his premise that that Mark Murphy realizes it's over. I think the Packers still believe that it can be fixed, that they can find a way to get him back, and that's what he's articulating. Like, we're trying, but it's complicated. This is not the easiest guy in the world to work with. Should he have said it? Probably not. But that's what he's articulating. And again, I still think it's tip of the iceberg in terms of what he and the Packers are actually thinking about Aaron Rodgers right now, but they don't want to come out and say all of that. So
what could they do tangibly, Dan? What are the things they could theoretically offer to do?
Well, they've offered to redo his contract.
I want to know.
And he hasn't wanted to do that. They could trade him, but they don't want to do that. And at this point, if it's about firing the GM, they're definitely not going to do that. We don't know that it is, but that's been out there, reported and speculated. So I think it's difficult right now for the Packers to figure out what it is that Aaron Rodgers exactly wants. And until they figure that out, there's no way they're going to be able to fix it. You know, the best course of action for them is to sit tight and let him retire, if that's what he really wants. They recoup a lot of money.
Go ahead, Marcus. Quick thought.
I just want, Garage, you keep being optimistic. I'm not. There's no way I'm going to be optimistic with what I'm watching. All of these things in my history have led to a departure, okay? These type of situations have always led to these guys parting ways. So maybe this is different, and people can be optimistic, and we know the contract situation, but this is not how you operate when you're trying to work together, and we are 2 months out from games being played. That's all. I'm going to leave it at that.
We're going to leave it at that, but we are coming back to it, I promise. Lewis and Marcus and Dan all have a lot more to say, and candidly, so do I. We will come back to this story as the hour continues. But coming up next, a totally different story. Marcus, you may not love this one. Kyler Murray grew up in Texas, so he was a Cowboys fan, right? The answer is no, and wait till you hear why. That's coming up next. Plus, has any position in the NFL changed more over the last 20 years than running back? Why, that might not be the most important part of the job. We'll explain. You're watching Get Up. It's Morning Raw on ESPN2.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Back on Get Up, and Dan Graziano, my insider's in our studio today. Dan, let's run the hurry up. What's going on with Stephon Gilmore?
Well, we're waiting to see if he shows up at Patriots mandatory minicamp. We know he hasn't been around. He's not happy with his contract, which pays him $7 million in this, the final year of it. And there are teams that are continuing to monitor this situation in case the Patriots decide to trade him. Possible the Patriots could add something to the contract to get him to stay. Possible they could move on from him. Watch this situation as the next few weeks unfold. Veteran cornerback who's a free agent is Richard Sherman. We still don't know where he will land. A lot of the speculation is about places where he has former coaches. He has former defensive coordinators in Dallas and with the Jets and in Las Vegas. And he could always go back to San Francisco or Seattle. Richard Sherman is going to take his time. No rush for a veteran at this stage of the offseason to get there in time for the start of training camp. But he should be on a roster at some point relatively close to when camps begin. And then another guy who could be on the move, Arizona pass rusher Chandler Jones. He was not at the mandatory minicamp last week. He has 1 year left on his contract, $15.5 million, a little bit less than what you would expect to make when you put up the numbers he does as a pass rusher. He's not a guy Arizona wants to trade at this point, but we're watching to see if he continues to try and force their hand. If he stays absent from training camp, that's definitely a situation that could change quickly.
Well, one reason they may not want to trade him is they're thinking big thoughts this year, and one of the primary reasons is a developing young star quarterback in Kyler Murray, and I want to talk about him a little. He's 23 years old, and he recently revealed that despite being born and raised in Texas, he was never a Cowboys fan. When asked why he wasn't a Cowboys fan growing up, he simply replied, "They were always blank. The three-letter word, it starts with A. I can't take you any further than that." I could, however, point out that Marcus Spears would have been on the Cowboys at around the time Kyler Murray was growing up and saw them that way. So, Swagoo, what is your reaction?
All right, G, let me snap out of it. Because first of all, Kyler Murray lying. He was a Dallas Cowboy fan, and a picture surfaced of him in the stands with a damn Dallas Cowboy jersey on. Okay? Listen, I wasn't a Saints fan, and you will never see a picture of me with a New Orleans Saints jersey on at the stadium watching the game. You know why? Because I wasn't a damn fan. Kyler Murray was. Okay? Here's what I'll say to the being blank. That's not true. That's just not factually true. Okay? We didn't have a bunch of great seasons in Dallas, but there was a 13-3 season underway, Phillips. There was an 11-5 season. Now, obviously, once we got into the playoffs, well, we beat the Eagles in the playoffs in the first round 1 year, but then it didn't work out. It didn't materialize. The Cowboys went up when Dez Bryant was playing and went up to Green Bay, and it was still a catch. Could have potentially won that game as well. Time left, Aaron Rodgers, don't know what could have happened. So Kyler Murray's lying about the Cowboys being butt that entire time. But more importantly, he's lying about not being a fan. That's what really made me mad. Now, I'm not going to get in a back and forth with Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray's playing well. He in his season now. He's the starting quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals. But he better worry about them not being ass G as opposed to the Dallas Cowboys when he was growing up. Okay? That's, I'm going to leave it at that.
That just makes me laugh.
That's very cathartic.
It's a way of phrasing something I've never used, but I always find it funny. Lewis, is that the body part? Well, that certainly is the part of the body one would compare them to last year. There's a lot of expectation that they're going to be a lot better this year.
My mama going to kill me.
Are you one of those, Lewis? Yeah. Are you one of those who believes the Cowboys are going to be a lot better this year?
A lot better than what I'm sitting on? Yeah. You know, I think they'll be better. I don't think they're divisional favorites. Look, it's just not, you know what's funny? You see, Dallas always hijacks every conversation, man. Whether they're good or bad, they just hijack conversations. People always want to talk about them because I think we're still thinking of the Dallas Cowboys in 1977 and 78 when my boy Dorsett was there, and in the 90s when they were rolling through everybody. Okay, I get it. But Washington, look, we should be running some Washington highlights up on the screen right now because this is the football team. This is the football team, literally and figuratively, in the NFC East that we should be talking about. Why? As long as Ryan Fitzpatrick is able to give them competent quarterback play. Not superstars. Just top 15 to 16. It's the truth, though, Martins. It's the truth.
Look,
he got cicadas in his beard and stuff. He's always making jokes now. He's like the talk of the town every time the media is around. But the truth is this. They have got players all over the place. They got players at wide receiver. They got two good running backs. As long as them off at the tackles hold up on the offensive line, they're good to go. And defensively, you know, they got some bad boys up front on the front seven.
Yeah.
And now they added some playmakers in the back end, too. They got William Jackson, look, from Cincinnati as a UFA. Washington's for real. As much as people don't want to maybe admit that, as much as people maybe hate that football team, this team is for real. They should be, they're the clear-cut favorites in the East. Clear-cut. It's not even a question.
I've been telling you that, Marcus, for the longest time. Look at the look on his face. We'll come back. Graziano,
you
picked the Giants, right?
The NFC East does not have repeat champions. Not in 17 years have they had a repeat champion. Something will go wrong.
Oh,
give me one good reason a year ago the Eagles weren't going to win it. The whole thing fell apart. Carson Wentz forgot how to play football. There are goblins at work in the mechanism that mess it all up. I'm telling you, something is up there cosmically with the NFC East.
You know that Carson was trying to do that thing that all these other quarterbacks are trying. How about that? I saw that just the other day. Carson has the worst season of all these quarterbacks, and he's the only one to get what he wants. He gets out of town. Somebody just tweeted that the other day. All these other good quarterbacks trying to get out of town, and they can't go nowhere. Go figure that. You're right.
I'm sick of y'all bringing me on TV for Cowboys blasphemy. Let me leave this here. I'm not going to stand for it this year, G. Every time y'all want to blast me about the Cowboys.
I'm getting yelled at from all over the place here, but I'm agreeing with you, Marcus. We do that because we enjoy it. But how about this? French Open yesterday. Oh, what a story. Novak Djokovic taking on Stefanos Tsitsipas, who would put Djokovic to the test. First set tiebreaker. Tsitsipas, set point opportunity. He's in the near court. Djokovic, that's a loose forehand. Tsitsipas wins the first two sets, 7-6, 6-2. Djokovic 0-5 in major finals when falling behind two sets. But in the third, Djokovic working his way back, down 5-3, and making Tsitsipas work. Djokovic, perfect. 6-3 in the third, 6-2 in the fourth, and here he comes all the way back. Championship point in the fifth. Novak Djokovic comes from two sets down to win the French Open. Tsitsipas, devastated. Djokovic now has 19 major championships in his career. He is one behind Federer and Nadal. And Djokovic should be a prohibitive favorite to win his 20th at Wimbledon. He is a two-time defending champion at the event. And if he does, just imagine that. You will have the three GOATs all even at the same time. All right, we'll continue. KD can't do this on his own, can he? If Kyrie Irving and James Harden are unable to go, do the Nets have any chance to win the series? Tim Legler will answer that question. And Marcus will continue to be flat out exasperated as this morning continues. We're having fun. Get up. Today we're on ESPN2.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back, and in case you're just joining us on Get Up, we run through the NBA highlights from yesterday. Bucks at home looking to even up their series with the Nets, and here's the moment that may very well change everything in the NBA postseason this year. That's Kyrie Irving going down, and it's not clear if or when he's going to get back up. You see the ankle turn as he comes down on the foot of Giannis. He would leave Milwaukee up 5 at the break, and then they would take over completely in the third quarter. That's a tough shot from Chris Middleton, who was terrific. Then it's Giannis coming in and throwing it down. He would score 34. KD had 28 in the loss. Bucks win it 107-96. We'll talk about it with Tim Legler in a second. We'll also talk About this, the sweep of the night. They brought the brooms in Denver. Suns, Nuggets, Nikola Jokic, the MVP, hoping to avoid the sweep second quarter. It's Jokic. What a terrific year he had getting DeAndre Ayton up and down. He had 18 and 10 in the first half. But a minute to play in the second, the Suns, they're just too good in this series. Look at Devin Booker, 21 in the first half on his way to 34. Suns up 8 at halftime. 5 minutes to go in the third now. Suns are up by 4. Chris Paul had 37 points in this game, 14 of 19 from the floor. Under 4 minutes to play in the third, the frustration gets the best of the Joker. Watch Nikola Jokic, it doesn't go. Then he runs over here on Cameron Payne, and look at that. That's just a huge swipe at the ball in the backcourt. In a situation they would assess a flagrant two and throw him out of the game. A lot of people seem to disagree with that decision. I myself am not one of them. And so the Nuggets would have to go the rest of the way without the MVP. Again, it's Chris Paul who would finish it up strong. He's the third player ever to score 35 in a playoff game at age 36 or older. Suns win 125-118. They are on to the Western Conference Final, and they could have a lot of rest. Paul's 37 points tied for the second most ever in a postseason game by a player his age, trailing only Karl Malone. He averaged more than 25 and 10 in the series. He's the only player at age 36 to do that in NBA playoff history. So, Legs, let's unpack both of those. Tim Legler, who rejoins us here. Let's start with this. If Durant has to play Game 5 tomorrow night without Kyrie or James Harden, which feels like the likeliest scenario, give me some numbers. Like, for them to win that game, what would KD have to do?
I think KD would probably have to put up 40 points, and he'd have to do it efficiently. It's not like a high volume of shots to get that number is going to be a winning formula, because it's all about efficiency. And even the other night, he put up numbers, but look what he shot from the field. And the reason that's happening is because there's no other threat on the floor with Kevin Durant to create their own offense if those guys aren't there. So now you press up on him at 30 feet. You get physical with him over screens. Every time he comes off a ball screen, you jump out, hit him with a second guy, get him to pick the ball up. If he wants to continue through that and go to some mid-range area of the floor with guys draped on him, he's not going to shoot a high percentage from the field. So the key for me, the biggest number of all, how many free throw attempts does Kevin Durant get? Because if they keep him to single digits again, they have no shot to win if those guys aren't on the floor. It would take, obviously, a ton of help from the three-point line with his role players. But the problem is, if you've got Kevin Durant out there by himself, the way that you can guard him by putting an extra defender in his vicinity and still being able to recover back to the three-point line, I just don't know how you generate the offense, Greeny, against a very good Milwaukee Bucks defense. And by the way, Milwaukee is also a team that's capable of giving you 110, 115, 120 on the other end. So I just don't see any way, if Kevin Durant's out there by himself, you could overcome everything that the Bucks represent and the way that this series is being officiated right now.
Yeah, people forget the Bucks were the number one scoring team in the NBA this season. Brooklyn was number two. Let's go to the other side. We just showed you Chris Paul and the Suns in a sweep, and this starts to feel like an opportunity for Paul to finally get where he's never been, which is the NBA Finals at the age of 36. What does that mean as he sits and waits to see if it's going to be Utah or the Clippers? What does this mean for Chris Paul at this stage of his career?
Well, I think even honestly the last 2 years, what he has done, he's obviously going to go down as one of the greatest point guards in history. And some people think, hey, you know what? If I got one to win one game and Chris Paul's my point guard, I'm good with that no matter who you want to put out there against him, because he's the ultimate leader. He's a facilitator. He defends. He's the IQ of your entire operation. So for him to be able to put these 2 years back to back where he's taken teams that had much smaller expectations than what they ended up fulfilling, and being the leader to do that, particularly on a night when he can roll back the clock and say, I've got to now go get buckets to make sure we get this thing to the next round. Very few players historically, Greeny, have ever been able to do what he did last night at that age. And it's also not his first choice to be a scorer. But he kept taking that same spot. He got to it over and over and decided, you know what? I'm going to make sure that this series does not drag on. We've got to take advantage of the fact that Jokic isn't here. Get this over with. Let's get our rest and let's wait. Really historic what he has done to play the most meaningful basketball of his entire career, a storied career, at 36 years old with a team that nobody expected to be in the conference finals going into the season.
They could get a ton of rest if the Clippers and Jazz go 7. The Western Conference Final wouldn't start till the week from tomorrow. They could get 9 days between games. Timmy Legler, outstanding as always. Thank you. To the NFL, we will go next. And let's talk about the Cleveland Browns. That's right, the Browns. Coming off their first playoff appearance since 2002, they upset Pittsburgh in the wild card round and came up short in a tough game against Kansas City. So it was a great year in Cleveland. And then they've had a good offseason. They bolster the defense. They add Jadeveon Clowney. They draft Greg Newsome, the corner. They draft Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa, the linebacker. And now Baker Mayfield will get back Odell Beckham, who missed the Browns' final 9 games of the season after tearing his ACL. So over the weekend, Browns receiver Jarvis Landry was asked whether or not his team should be talking Super Bowl, and he said, "It's something people always say you should not talk about. But nobody trains, nobody does what they do to not be a champion. That's the standard. So why not talk about it? It's real." Let's talk about this from a variety of different angles. And Lewis Reddick, I want to start with you. It's one thing to think it. It's another thing to say it out loud. You have a little experience with teams that talked a little bit of the talk before backing it up. What do you think of him coming out and saying, yeah, let's talk about it. We're here to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think the transition has been cemented in Cleveland as far as the transition that I'm talking about from hope to expectations now. It's no longer about hoping that Cleveland's competitive anymore. With what they showed last year, is now it's expected that this football team challenge for division titles, challenge for conference titles. And when you challenge for conference titles, obviously, logically, the next step is the Super Bowl. The floor has been set for them. Divisional rounds the floor for them this year. Now it's AFC Championship and higher or bust. And that's something that people just don't necessarily equate with Cleveland in recent years. But that's the reality of it. Now, it doesn't matter what Jarvis Landry says or OBJ or anyone else says in Cleveland. You can talk all you want. It doesn't matter. Now you better back it up, because now you're not sneaking up on anybody. It's not going to be one of those where you win 3 or 4 games and all of a sudden you're the talk of the NFL anymore. Now it's going to be about you better keep winning, and you better keep winning at a big clip. So talk all you want. Just make sure that come September, you're racking up them W's.
So it's one thing to talk it, and then Marcus, as he says, they've got to back it up. Are they going to do what he's saying? Are they a Final Four NFL team?
I believe so, G. I have them as dark horse Super Bowl contenders. And look, it's on paper. And let me do this, okay, because I'm going to give love to the Browns. But let's also remember that this team right here is still in that division. Mm-hmm. So it ain't going to be easy, okay? And they understand what they all have to go through. I don't think Pittsburgh is going to go silently into the night either, for as much as we've lamented about how bad they were offensively. But the Cleveland Browns, and I've said this before, on paper, have the best roster in the AFC. Now, obviously, Kansas City made some moves, but if you look at depth and what they did in this offseason, John Johnson and Troy Hill. Remember, this team was ravaged by injury as well defensively on the back end. Grant Delpit will be in that secondary as well. They drafted Newsom, which we put up earlier. This is a really good football team. We know that they are built the right way from an offensive standpoint. It starts up front with this offensive line. And make no mistake about it, this is a running football team that can take care and protect their quarterback. Stefanski did a tremendous job of that, and they are getting a dynamic playmaker that they lost back, that they have to figure out a way to make him work in synergy with this entire offense. It's up to Baker Mayfield. This roster is ready to compete with what Lou said, an AFC championship, and potentially make it to a Super Bowl.
That's a lot for Baker Mayfield. Again, the number one pick in the draft a few years ago. They pick up his fifth-year option, but he doesn't have the long-term contract right now. There's a lot going on here for a young quarterback.
There is, but the confidence this team earned at the end of last season should not be overlooked. I'm with Marcus on Baltimore. I think they're going to be a very good team this year. But Cleveland was toe-to-toe with them and almost had them. That Monday night game, remember when Lamar had the stomach cramps?
Yes.
Right. So so they believe they can play with them and beat them. They knocked Pittsburgh out right of the playoffs, so they know they can play with them and beat them. That's a big hurdle for the Cleveland Browns to be able to consider yourself one of the heavyweights in a division like that. I think everything's set up for them. We never know what's going to happen, who's going to stay healthy, all that. But on paper, absolutely, they deserve this consideration.
Okay, we'll keep a close eye on them. Meanwhile, from football of one sort to football of an entirely other sort, don't forget the Euros continue on ESPN. We've got opening round matches continuing today. Poland and Slovakia will be playing, and Spain and Sweden. It's Group E action coming your way. All the action coming on ESPN and on the ESPN app. Coming up, running backs used to dominate the NFL. So what makes a great back great today? And who's the best in the game right now? We'll answer that question next. And then we'll see if Graziano can answer this one. Sneaky Hembo in the house. Which NFL franchise has produced the most different rushing champion?
Oh, no.
That's a tough one.
Oh, no. You're not throwing stuff.
Graziano's ready.
Get this.
We'll get the answer next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Here we go. Sneaky Hembo and Graziano face to face. Dan, which NFL franchise has produced the most different rushing champions?
Don't know. I'm going to have to guess. I'm a little worried my guess is a little too recent, right? The history goes back farther than this. I'm going to guess the Houston, Tennessee Oilers with Eddie George and Earl Campbell and Chris Johnson and Derrick Henry and...
It's not a bad guess, but it's not right. You're right. This goes way back. The Chicago Bears have produced five. Some of them are names I don't even know, like Beatty Feathers. We're talking about a long time ago.
I want to let it be known. I saw the answer in the teleprompter before I guessed, and I stuck with my original guess because of the integrity of this game. But we got to work on that teleprompter.
You are a man of integrity.
Right there, the correct answer.
Graziano, his lead has been cut to a field goal, 25-22. Meanwhile, we're talking about running backs for a reason, because several notable ones are looking to bounce back big in 2021. Christian McCaffrey played just three games last season, dealing with various injuries. The fourth-year back said recently he is 100% and ready to go. He's coming back. So is Saquon Barkley. He played just two games last year. Torn ACL cost him the rest. Giants and Barkley taking it slow in his rehab, not putting a timetable on his return. And then, of course, in Dallas over the weekend, Dak Prescott said that Ezekiel Elliott looks like he is, quote, in the best shape of his life. And all of that is the way we could set up this interesting question. Our friend Matt Miller just posed this on Twitter. Who's the best running back in the NFL? He asked it without context. I will do the same. I've got my squad here together this morning. Let's answer that question. Who is the best running back in the National Football League? Dan Graziano, your name is first on my list. Who do you vote for?
For me, it's Christian McCaffrey when he's healthy, because I think he excels at so many different things. You can run him between the tackles. You can use him at the goal line. You can use him in the passing game as a decoy, as a pass catcher, as a pass protector. He does everything you're looking for. So if Christian McCaffrey's healthy, I would say him.
All right, there's one vote for Christian McCaffrey. Marcus Spears, how about you? Who gets your vote? Who's the best running back in the NFL?
Listen, I'm glad we can talk about things, but I'm not going to belabor. It's Alvin Kamara. Like, what are we talking about? Durability is one of the most important things at the running back position. I know we're about to talk about two guys that missed a lot of times. Guess who didn't? Alvin Kamara scored five touchdowns in the game last year. Obviously, out of the backfield is as devastating as catching it out of the backfield as well, lining up in different and multiple positions. I know Derrick Henry should be in this conversation because of the amount of yards he puts together. But give me Alvin Kamara over all of them, and I can see us winning a lot of games with that dude in my backfield.
It is the way the game is played these days, where running backs do so much more than just tote the rock. Lewis Riddick, who's the best running back in the NFL?
Yeah, let me say this. Look, this isn't the most who's the most durable running back in the NFL. Marcus, it's who's the best. Who's the best? Who's the best all-around running back who can do it in between the tackles, outside the tackles? You know, in the passing game on third down, Saquon is the best running back in the NFL. When he's healthy, he's the best. He has the best height, weight, speed, do-it-all ratio of any back in the NFL. We saw some of these clips already that we put up there. There's no one in the NFL can do that. Look, Christian can do a lot of the things that Saquon can do in a smaller package. Saquon's 235 pounds. This is a guy who's a bigger guy, who's faster than Christian, quicker than Christian, hasn't proven that he can catch the ball out of the backfield with the same kind of consistent, let's just say, effectiveness that Christian has shown. And Alvin Kamara, look, I'm not going to argue with you about Alvin. Alvin's a bad boy. But when Saquon is right, there's nobody who can touch him. Nobody.
I voted a different direction for two reasons. One, I think he's the primary reason that his team has won a lot of games. And two, he's the last person in the world I would ever want to try to tackle. And that is Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry, who makes, and you talk about injuries, he doesn't get injuries, he delivers them. He hurts other people who try to tackle him, and in that case, he hurts their feelings. So, Marcus, you tell me, of all the guys on this list, isn't he the one you would least like to meet in the hole one day?
You damn right. He a defensive end, though, playing running back. Listen, man, it was so hard for me not to put Derrick Henry in this conversation. Like, it was so hard for me not to have him as my number one guy. But I didn't want to get enamored with the total number of yards. He's a dominant running back. I just look at the league now, and I would prefer Alvin Kamara over all of these guys based on what he's done.
All right. I promised you guys we were going to get back to the Aaron conversation, and we will. We've saved plenty of time for it at the end of our program. Meanwhile, tonight, you're looking for baseball. This is the place to watch it on ESPN, I should say. Monday Night Baseball, first game of a big four-game set. Cubs and NL East leading Mets. That's 7 Eastern tonight on ESPN and on the ESPN app. Then, as promised, we were talking about Aaron Rodgers, and everyone was yelling at each other. And I said we'd get back to it. We will next. Don't miss the yelling continuing as the Rodgers saga continues. In Green Bay, it's next. It's Get Up. We're on ESPN2.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
All right, our next WNBA game on ESPN2 and the ESPN app will be tomorrow night. The Sky taking on the Lynx. That's 9 Eastern, 8 Central right here on ESPN2. Meanwhile, we're just 5 minutes away from First Take. The big three may be down to just one without Harden and Kyrie. Can Kevin Durant and the Nets beat the Bucks? The answers are ahead. The debates begin the top of the hour. First Take today here on ESPN2. Meanwhile, our debate earlier in the program was all about Mark Murphy, the president and CEO of the Green Bay Packers, speaking at an event last week and saying of Aaron Rodgers, quote, he's a complicated fella, which got everybody all agitated, and we wound up yelling at each other and all of that. And I did not get to ask a question that I thought would be fascinating, because I saw up on the screen a thought from you about something you're hearing from other teams around the NFL that I think these guys will find fascinating.
Yeah, from more than one team, I've heard, I hope they don't trade him. Like, as in, I hope they don't give him what he wants, because there is a sense around the league among team owners, you know, front office people, that you don't want to trend toward a situation where guys can sort of pout their way out of town. I think the comparison you hear is the NFL doesn't want to become the NBA, where the players have that level of control over where they go. Now, we can argue about whether that's even possible in a sport that has so many more guys on a roster and on the field at the same time, but it is something that other teams around the league are watching very, very closely for that reason.
I'm curious on your perspective on that, Lewis, because, again, you're a player at heart, and you always will be, but you're also one who knows the front office perspective of this stuff so well. So when you hear others around the league saying that, what do you think?
I understand what they're saying. I mean, they don't want it to become one of these situations where they feel as though, look, that players are getting too much control and too much say. But look, as Dan alluded to, look, it's not going to become that way, because there's only a few Aaron Rodgerses. There's only a few guys, you know, who have that kind of cachet to the point where they can pretty much hold their teams hostage. And quite honestly, look, Green Bay in this regard, look, they don't have to do anything. That was my whole point about this. There is nothing that they need to say publicly right now. Nothing. As a matter of fact, I would assume that they have done all that they can possibly do as far as trying to make things right with Aaron already. As Dan alluded to earlier, I mean, what more can they do? He's pretty much rebuffed everything that they've tried to do. So now all they would need to do really is just sit back and kind of focus inward, continue to work on developing Jordan Love, making sure that the roster is as strong as it possibly can possibly be in the event that you have to play with your second-year quarterback who didn't take a snap last year at all, practice or otherwise. And just be quiet. You don't need to get into this war of words where now all of a sudden you're going to start turning some people against you. And maybe some teams, you know, internally will go, well, we don't really care about that. But it's bad for business. It's just bad for business because, look, somewhere down the road, it could cost you a player. It can cost somebody who's a free agent that you have your eye on who they're going. Remember when that guy Mark Murphy was just talking all that mess about his future Hall of Fame quarterback and just made that one comment? And don't be naive enough to think that people don't kind of keep tabs on that kind of stuff. Because they do. Because it's a petty world that we live in. And there's plenty of them out there other than me and Aaron Rodgers. So just remember that.
Marcus.
Gee, let me know if I get this right. Wasn't it Frank Sinatra in his song that said, it's a new day, it's a new life, and I'm feeling good? Wasn't that Sinatra?
Might have been. I don't think that's a song I know. But let's just say for the sake of this discussion, it is.
Yeah, for the sake of the discussion, because I listened to what Brad said, and it's a new day. Look, I know these GMs and owners, they don't want these players to have this type of control, and I think Lou made a great point, right? It's only a few, and you know I've been on record telling all NFL players, if you don't have these credentials or this cachet, you better not walk into that front office talking about I want out or I need things changed in a certain way. I wasn't a player. Jerry Jones would have looked at me and said, peace, good riddance. Have a nice life. Okay? So it's changing. These guys are figuring out how they can flex their power that they have. NFL teams have been doing this since the beginning of time. And this is not to dispute what Graz is saying, but this is to let you know that the evolution of the athlete has happened in the NFL and these guys realizing what they can be. So the bottom line is Aaron Rodgers is forcing this issue. And for anybody that thinks that Green Bay has leverage outside of money being taken away from a guy that's probably made $500 million, so what? Aaron Rodgers is going to get what he wants out of this situation.
True. And by the way, that quote was Michael Bublé. So if you were scoring at home and you had Marcus quoting Michael Bublé and me quoting Dr. Dre, I give you a lot of credit. Okay, before we wrap up for the day, Marcus, shout out. Go.
Yeah, man, I want to give my boy Benny Brazil and the LSU men's track and field team a shout-out for winning the national championship, Coach Shaver. They've been doing it for a long time. They got it done once again. But shout-out to my boy Benny B, man, play wide receiver at LSU while I was at LSU, was an Olympian track star and now part of that coaching staff. National champs, throw up the L's. Let's go.
He's got the pride. See you tomorrow. First Take Now.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.